In the name of the Father,
of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Today's April 9th, year 2012, and it's Easter Monday. Christ is truly risen.
Alleluia.
And don't let the apostate Jews and anyone else lie to you. Christ is truly risen. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with them this morning. Now, in many of my previous sermons, I've spoken about evil Jews, and a few of them I've spoken about evil white people, in particular white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and Freemasons and so forth and so on. I've spoken about evil American Indians. And during this lecture, we're going to talk about evil black people. And the title of this lecture is Black Criminals, Racists, and Radicals. God is the respecter of no persons. Evil is evil is evil. Now, and you have to call it what it is, or we commit sins of omission. Now, as I said many times before, almost everybody in a particular race goes to hell. There's no one race that is predominantly good. The majority of every race of people goes to hell. So there's really no race on the earth that is predominantly good. Almost every people from every race ends up going to hell. Only maybe 10% of the whole human population, when all is said and done, is going to be saved and enter heaven and be in the new paradise to come. And that's about it. So, but we must call evil evil, and there are certain races and certain people that are more evil than others, even on the natural plane. Now, we start out by teaching that we have all men, even the pagan on the island, even the Africans before the gospel was preached to them, and the Chinese and the American Indians have that law upon their heart. And the law upon their heart is a moral law. And God forbids you to violate that law. And when you violate that law, you commit mortal sins and you're an abomination to God, and God punishes you and his wrath comes down upon you. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what color are you are. I don't care what language you speak. If you break God's natural law, you are an abomination. And even worse than that, if you break his supernatural laws against the first commandment of worshiping false gods, you're even more under a curse from God. Now, we're talking about evil black people here. We're talking about the black people that are generally known as the liberals, the lefties, the radicals. Generally, the black people that are on the right side of the issue, I hate to use Republican and Democrat, but that's the way it usually spreads out at times. They're not as immoral as the ones on the left. Now, when I talk about evil black people or bad blacks and good blacks, I don't mean that the good blacks are saved or going to go to heaven, but all I mean in this lecture is that they're better than these bad blacks. The evil blacks are extremely immoral, that are very criminal in their behavior. They murder, they rape, they're gangsters, they're gang members, they're drug addicts, they're alcoholics, they're rappers, they're filthy, and these are the ones that are even worse than you can call them the better blacks or the good blacks. And that's what we're going to be centering on, the bad blacks, the evil blacks. And I have firsthand experience from this. You can't pull the wool over my eyes and try to make me believe, like a lot of these lefty liberals or suburbanite white people believe, that the blacks are victims. They've been victimized. They're not committing all these crimes they do. Or the reason they're committing them is because they were treated so poorly. No matter how bad you're treated, you can never do evil. And a lot of these blacks profess to be Christians, and we know they're not. Only Catholics are true Christians, but they don't even go by the gospel. You cannot do evil for no matter what excuse. Even if you were oppressed by somebody, you're not allowed to go back out and do evil like they do. But we're going to show to you that these black people we're talking about, the evil blacks, are oppressors. They are evil. They are violent. And anybody with the natural law upon our can notice. I grew up with them. I know it. I've had black friends, and then there were bad. I don't hate any person. Even I don't even hate these evil blacks I'm speaking to right now. As a matter of fact, this sermon is first and foremost for the better blacks that are out there to help them get away from the evil blacks, and it's for the evil blacks for them to wise up, stop committing your crimes. Turn to the true God and come to the Catholic Church before it's too late to have a hope to save your mortal souls. And what these evil blacks don't even realize, they're being set up for to kill themselves. The Antichrist doesn't like them either. He's going to obliterate them. He's using their inner rebellious spirit, their inner criminality, to get the people in the world angry at them, and then he's going to turn them against them and obliterate them. I always told you many times that the Antichrist is God's minister of justice. He kills all the evildoers, then he's the last evildoer standing on earth, and then we kill him by the power of God. The Blessed Virgin Mary, Christ comes down and kills him. It works like this. We were talking about the brothers last week about this. It's like we go up to the Antichrist and we go, oh, Mr. Antichrist, did you know that these Hindu people over here... See, because Antichrist wants to be worshipped as a god, which you have to understand. He wants to show himself as if he's the only god, and he wants everyone to worship him, so he's going to annihilate all these other religions. He's going to annihilate all these other races that are going to be troublesome to him, and he's going to be an apostate Jew, so he's going to be highly racial. He's going to put the Talmud of Jews and the apostate Jews on the high of his hierarchy. He looks at all the Gentiles as goy cattle without souls. He particularly has a hatred towards the black race and the Spanish races and even the Latin races and all Gentiles in particular, and they're slated for annihilation. But my point is, you deserve it. If God allows it, you deserve it. Now, it works like this. You go up to the Antichrist guy and say, you know, these Hindus are real evil. Would you please wipe them out? Oh, and the Antichrist goes, yeah, I'd like to wipe out those Hindus. So he goes out and he kills all the Hindus. Then you go up to the Antichrist and you go, you know, the Buddhists, they're really evil people too. Let's go wipe out all the Buddhists. So Antichrist goes out and wipes out all the Buddhists because they're not going to go to him either. Then you go up to the Antichrist and you say, hey, you know, what are we going to do about these Muslims? You know, they're very evil. So Antichrist goes, I don't like them, you know, because he's bringing the apostate Jewish Antichrist to power. Let's go out and wipe out all the Muslims. Then the Antichrist, you go, you know, these black people, they're a bunch of radicals. They're all rebels. Look at them, they're criminals. They create disruption in the streets and everything. Wipe out the black people. And that's what he wants to do. In Africa, he's already got almost the whole African continent going to be wiped out, all the black people. So he goes and wipes out all the black people, all the evil black people. Maybe all of them, even. At least if you're Catholic, you'd save your soul, but he's going to wipe out all the black people. And then you're going, okay, Antichrist, boy, you're doing a good job, right? Then once he wipes out all the evil people in the whole world, then God comes over and he says, all right, now we're going to kill you. You're the last one. And there's no more evildoers. That's really what's happening. He's going to be the last evildoer standing on the world, with almost the whole world serving him, the Talmud, a Jew, with the Jews at the evil Jews at the hierarchy of this thing. But my point is that you black people right now are being set up for the kill, and you deserve it. All you black radicals, all you black lefties, all you black liberals, all you black criminals, when he destroys you, I'm going to dance on the roof. Well, it's just when he destroys any evildoers, because you deserve it. And I'm going to wise people up to the true nature of the beast of what we're talking about here. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey during the riots in 1967 and then in 1968. And it was a horrible time. The blacks, and they were rioting all over the United States, but Newark was one of the big cities in which they rioted in. You would turn on your TV sets and watch. I was living in the North Ward of Newark, where all the Italians were. And most of the blacks were in the West Ward, the South Ward. And you turn on the TV and you see these black people. This is how stupid they are, too, these evil blacks. They were rioting in their own neighborhoods, burning their own homes, but they were breaking into the business districts, too, and they were looting. They were breaking into stores, and they were taking out TV sets, they were taking out clothes, and everyone's watching it, nobody's doing anything. I said, wait a second, since when do we allow people to do this and not get arrested on the spot immediately? And if there's a lot of them, you've got to start shooting them. To stop this criminality. That is stealing. It's against the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not steal. So here they are stealing on TV. We're all looking at it. We're going, how come these black guys are getting away with it? If a white guy broke into any store or something, he's done for. You know, when I grew up, and before in this white neighborhood, if you didn't have all this criminality yet, if a white kid broke into a local store and everyone knew about it, that kid's anathema. The cops will get that white kid and beat him. And we know, and there's only a handful of them. His crime was very low when I was younger. And they would arrest the guy, the cops would beat him, they'd throw him in jail, a white guy. So why do the blacks get off the hook when they do evil? Why do they get off the hook and not white people? I used to say, too, they go around, they do put graffiti all over the place. All right, they rob cars like crazy. They're always robbing cars. They're committing murders and rapes. And my point was this, if I did what they did, put graffiti on public property, I get a beating at school with the priest and the nun, even though they weren't Catholic, but they at least had some sense of morality. It was a nominal Catholic school, a lady good counsel. I get a beating from the priest, and my parents would give me a beating for defacing public property. If I used bad language, they would wash my mouth out with soap, I would get a beating. Why can the blacks come over here and put graffiti on public property, rob cars, rape people, commit all kinds of crimes in public, and they're innocent, nobody can talk against them? Hands off for the poor black person. Why? What excuse does he have to commit that crime? No excuse. No type of oppression can ever make an excuse for you to do evil for evil. And so these black people brought crime to the city. Now, sure, yes, God was punishing the inner cities in this country by this crime, but it makes no excuse for their criminality. And we sat back and we were looking at this, and after the Newark riots, you had racial tensions for several years going on in the big cities. When I went to high school at St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, New Jersey, which at that time was one of your elite prep schools, where you have to really go in there and you have to have, there's a moral code and there's laws and rules and all that. So I was going to St. Benedict Prep from the years of 19, I think my first went there was for 3 years. And it was, I think I started in 1969 and I ended my junior year because the school closed down because of racial tensions. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. Now, the first thing you got to realize, when I went to St. Benedict's Prep, they had a few black kids in there that were okay. They weren't rowdy. They weren't radical. But what was wrong about that, though, was, and this is very bad, there were sins against the First Commandment. They were Baptists. They weren't Catholics. You're never, ever, ever in a Catholic school allowed to mix Catholics with non-Catholics and educate them together. It's a sin against the faith. It is forbidden. And these so-called Benedictines, nominal Catholic heretic priests that educated me, allowed blacks to start, non-Catholic blacks to come in. But even these few non-Catholic blacks that were here when I first went in weren't too bad. Because they put them under a moral code. There's only a few of them, but they still shouldn't have done that. Here's my point on getting that. They committed a sin against the faith by allowing these black Baptists to come into a Catholic school and be educated side by side with Catholics. Now, if you Benedictines wanted to educate non-Catholic kids, which we're not against, that's a good thing, educate them in their own school. Here is the school for the non-Catholic kids that the Benedictines can then come in and teach them some moral laws, and they can't force them to be Catholic, but they can teach them certain things and teach them the basics and all that, and teach them, but separate from Catholics. Now, that was the first crime I recognized when I went there. What are these guys doing there? They're not Catholic. They even started to bring in Jewish teachers, which was never allowed before. We had one Jewish teacher, but he didn't last for 1 week with us. His name was Slosher or something. He came in to teach biology or something. Within 1 week, we got rid of him. We called him a Christ killer and whatever else. And he got all insulted, and they came in. God was inspiring us to do that, to get the guy out of here. But I want to just pave the road to show you what was happening here in the beginning before even worse things started to happen. Because when you start committing sins against the faith, then the Romans 1 curse comes down, which says, because they didn't like to have God in their knowledge, God turned them over to reprobate sense. Because you deny articles of the faith, which are the worst sins of all, this is actually, these Benedictines weren't Catholic anyway, then God starts sending massive immorality, your reasoning and all the moral commands start to get broken, and then what happened was, the more liberal so-called Benedictine monks sided with these radical blacks, these criminal blacks, and said, why don't we let a whole bunch of them come into St. Benedict's Prep and give these underprivileged kids a chance. Now so a little underprivileged. I don't care how underprivileged you are, you can never break God's law without being guilty. And you're supposed to be punished. And if a society doesn't punish people for breaking God's moral law, it gets even worse. So what did they do? When I was going to school there, I lived through this transition period. They started to let in a whole bunch of blacks on scholarships, black Baptists, I guess, or they were not Catholic. And now these were the worser type of blacks, the evil blacks. They were bringing in guns. They were bringing in knives. They were bringing in heroin and drugs. And they were doing them during school. They started punching out the priest, even punching the priest, the priests and the monks in the face. They started fighting with them. It was all hell literally broke loose in that particular school. And it was war. One of my Italian friends got into a fight with a black, and he was beating the black on the ground. The black had a knife hidden here, and he was stabbing him in the back. He didn't know it. And then after the fight was over, he's driving home, and he punctured his lungs. They almost killed him. Another kid got shot. Another kid, they're doing heroin in the school. I said, wait a second. What's going on here? You're letting these savages come in. Now, the righty Benedictines, the ones that are a little bit not as bad as the liberal lefty Benedictines, that's what caused the school to close down in 1972 and 73 season. It closed, and there was a big split amongst them, and there was a big conflict. And we were saying, how could you... If I ever, as a white kid, punched my teacher in the face, I'm dead. I'm expelled. I'm gone. Why could a black kid do this? Is there a double standard here? I call that racism. You're allowing him to do whatever he wants, to break God's moral law and get away with it. And you're bringing him into the school and creating a major disruption. And so, this was only a few years after our riots, major tensions, all right? These kids are coming, and we go up to them, we say to them, what are you guys doing in here, this school? Because we say, what are you doing in this school anyway here? You know, the way you're behaving, you're not even behaving correctly. Wise up. And they say, well, we don't want to be here anyway. I says, well, why are you here? Because our parents want us to go here because we're on a scholarship and we got a free tuition and they want us to go. He said, he wanted to be here. I said, we should send them back to Central High, to the public school, and get them out of here. We had dances there. One dance, then the blacks came in. They brought in a bunch of the radical blacks. We had a big riot there. Big people were getting stabbed. People were wounded. The cops had to come out and break it up. But I want to tell you something about those dances. And this is before they even let the blacks in. This is supposed to be a Catholic school. Did you know that the dances that St. Benedict's Prep had were notorious for immorality? That even the blacks and the neighboring people say go to the, and all the like Essex Catholic and the other so-called Catholic schools would have all their kids go to St. Benedict's Prep's dances. Because the lights were turned down low, they'd have strobe lights and rock music, making out with girls and all this, and the priests would never stop you. They liked it, they would even look at it. I went to a couple of these dances, so I'm a first-hand witness of it. This is a Catholic school. Lights are low, strobe lights are over, rock music, all the kids are bombed, drinking booze, and the girls are there, and they're molesting the girls, and everybody went, this is a so-called Catholic school we're talking about, St. Benedict's Prep. It makes a mockery out of the name of St. Benedict. Yeah? And now you get all these blacks in here that are super radicals, right? It was so bad even when I was going to school there, that every day when you walk home, I would take the subway. Right on the corner where St. Benedict's Prep was, I think it's at 520 High Street, which is now Martin Lucifer King Boulevard. And right on the corner over there was the home base of Leroy Jones, one of the biggest black radicals in the United States, who later changed his name to Amaru Baccara, Leroy Jones. Anybody who knows about the black radical, criminal, gangster movements will know about him. And his home base, where he was right on the corner. And every day when I'm walking home, every day there was a gang of blacks out there, trying to mug you, and what they would do is they would say all like this, hey, give me a bus ticket, hey, give me a dime, give me a quarter. But my way was, when I went through them, I says, I'm walking straight through them and I'm looking straight forward. I'm not going to say anything to them, and I'm not going to give them anything. But if they touch me, we're going to go at it. So for every day, it happens every day though, and you're ready. I mean, you got your fist ready to go, and you're walking through them. Give me a nickel. Come here, man. Give me a bus ticket. Hey, man, give me a nickel. Give me a nickel. And I'm just walking like this, like that. Well, one day, I'm walking home, and hey, man, give me a nickel. And I didn't give him anything, so he swung out and hit me with a left. And he hit me. So I said, whoa, all right? So when I grabbed him, this is right in front of that Leroy Jones black radical place. I grabbed him and threw him into the plate glass window. I didn't break it, but I slammed him against it. And I had him. And he goes, oh, let me go, man. Let me go. Please let me go. I ain't gonna. I says, what'd you hit me for? If I let you go, don't swing at me again. All right. So I let him go, and he swung at me again. Missed, and I swung a left at him, and I broke his nose. Then he started bleeding out of his nose. And then I was up against the plate glass window, just like this. Frozen, and all the blacks started coming out of this Leroy Jones place. And they're surrounding me. I was like a guy in the shark-infested waters. And I'm up against the plate glass window like this, just looking. And they're going, kill the whitey, kill the whitey, kill the whitey, kill the whitey. I'm looking for help somewhere. There's a black cop across the street saying, kill the whitey. A black cop. I'm going, oh, I ain't going to get no help from here. Now, they're saying to the kid, go get him. They want the kid to fight me. They wanted to fight. So I'm just waiting. And he didn't want to fight. He was scared now because his nose was bleeding and all that. So his two friends that were with him, he starts walking away even. He goes down to the corner. He goes, come down here and fight me. I went, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go under an ambush. But what happened was the headmaster of St. Benedict's Prep finally came out and saw what was going on. And he came down in a black separated a little bit. He said, Richard, come over here. So they didn't touch me. God, you know, they could have annihilated me, you know. And so I'm walking up with the headmaster, and all of a sudden this Italian guy who was driving a truck driver, he must have seen it. And as I'm going back to the school, he got out of his truck, and he's running back. He says, I'm coming out as fast as I could to help you. And I walked into the school, and he went to the corner, and I don't know what he did. But I tell you one thing, the blacks don't mess with the Italians. Because the Italians, they ask, you don't, they'll beat you. That's it, and they do. They hit you with bats, they'll even kill you. Now, you ask questions. During the North riots, well, I lived in the North Ward. Why was the North Ward peaceful? Why was there no crime in the North Ward? Why did the blacks not come into our neighborhood and pillage and burn and rape and murder? Because they get killed, quite simply. In particular, there's any all the Italians are like that. They defend their neighborhood. But they had one particular guy, his name was Anthony Imperiale, that was one of the vigilante leaders. And he was one of the foes against Leroy Jones. They'd always go at it. And any black knew that if you walk into my neighborhood in the North Ward and they see you walking in there and you don't belong there, and they catch you up to no good and robbing, you're in trouble. They made a lot of them, they even killed and threw them into the park, at Brentford Park, into the river. And they know they would get killed if they come into our neighborhood if they're up to no good. Or they would get a beating, that's for sure. So what happened was when the riots really got big and they were threatening to come into the North Ward, this guy Anthony Imperiale got what they said, a tent. It was like an armored car. And he parked it down on Bloomfield Avenue, right where the dividing line is, and he said, anybody comes by here, we're going at war. Because the police were not even giving us proper protection until the National Guard came in. So you ask, why was our neighborhood safe? Because we killed the bastards when they came in here, and we beat them.
I got my hands on documents of a target zone that black militants have put out as naming what towns were going to get hit. Although the Newark riot was premature, it wasn't supposed to really happen with Schmidt, the cab driver. It happened to be an incident that took place, and the guys that were involved with the riots to be jumped the gun, and the riot took off on Schmidt. But they were, for according to their target zone, which I still have, it was premature. It was supposed to be completely different. And not only that, if Life magazine takes a picture of a man with a rifle posing, a black man, or even if it was a white man, it shows that there was a planned riot. It didn't happen by accident. Snipers don't stay by a window because they ain't got nothing else to do. It was a target. It was a mark. It was a program that they were going to initiate to let the world know. But there was a lot of us that knew that there was an injustice. It didn't have to burn, kill, innocent people murdered. And a lot of us knew it, just that the government was slow in dragging its feet and giving people equal rights. And many of us who knew that the rights did not exist, like in our family, we were ignorant as to what to do. So we did only what we were taught to do by our parents and by our God, to be fair and square. Of course, later on, my reputation through the media became that of a race hater, which is never true. And this is what's happening.
You talked about Baraka. There were some other people that in town that you remember from that time?
Yes, we had the Black Panthers here, Huey Newton. We had Ron Karanga here. We had them all here. And each time they messed with me, I made them go running because I didn't play games. And I don't care who liked it or didn't like it. You came after me with a bow, I hit you with an axe. You came after me with a sword, I shot you with a gun. I don't give a damn. I mean, these are the rules. We were fighting to save our family. And if the law couldn't keep these people off the streets, white or black, with weapons that were threatening to do this and that, what did you expect us to do? Sit here and prayer beads, I love it, but they don't save your family when they're banging down your door. And I just played the game like they named it.
20 years ago, the neighborhood that I live in, we call it the North Ward, specifically up here it's Forest Hill, which is a part of the North Ward. We felt very special and apart from the city, and I think it's still the same, and we still do. If it's more or less, I think it's really not important. We're really not connected.
Did the riot take this neighborhood by surprise?
Totally. We had to rethink who we were. Are we going to stay here? Tomorrow, are we going to leave? Are we crazy? What are we doing here? I mean, are we in a war? I mean, if we get out into suburbia, guess what? It's over. There's no war, no fighting, no racism, no problem. No blacks, no Barackas, none of that. Very critical time to rethink of who we were. Something was happening that was impacting on our lives, and it was scary.
What were the fears?
Everything. Everything. You know, your way of life ending, like by the weekend. You know, waking up to find out that all the things that you loved and cherished and protected, they're not going to be there. And if they're there, you may not recognize them. It was frightening for everybody.
The worst race riots since those 2 years ago in the Watts section of Los Angeles rocked New Jersey's largest city, Newark, for 5 consecutive days and nights. At least 24 persons are killed. More than 1,800 wounded, some 1,400 arrested. Despite patrolling by city and state police, millions of dollars in property damage is done. Looters wreck and clean out scores of shops in the Negro ghetto district. The fury of the mob makes any official-looking vehicle a target. 2 days after its beginning, police are augmented by National Guardsmen. Snipers make the streets a battlefield. Governor Hughes terms the rioting open rebellion, just like wartime. Sniper fire from open windows kills 2 policemen, a fire captain shot in the back while answering a false alarm, and several bystanders. Scores of police, troopers, guardsmen, and civilians are wounded. Officials said the snipers, some believed not to be Newark residents, used guns stolen from a local rifle factory. Even machine guns were used. Because of widespread looting, 8 emergency food centers are set up to supply milk, bread, and cereal to besieged and terrorized residents. A 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew is clamped on fully one-third of Newark. While Newark struggles to restore peace and order, the racial bitterness spreads to 4 nearby suburban towns, where a policeman is beaten to death, guns are stolen, looting and violence are reported. New Jersey, a state under siege.
That live out in the suburbs. They talk about how nice the blacks are. I will tell you, I could have told you even now today in some of these major cities, there's one block you can walk down at a certain hour of night and you're never going to get out there alive when you get to the end of it. They're going to rape you, they're going to pillage you, they're going to rob you. Go back there every day and have that subjected to you and you say nothing should be done about that. Your daughters should be raped. Your young children should be raped, all you liberals up in the suburbs. You deserve to be raped. Yeah. Because you don't stand up for justice. Everyone's afraid to talk against the blacks like they are against the Jews. The good blacks are going to like what I'm saying right now because I know them. They don't like the bad blacks. The bad blacks prey upon the good blacks. Do you know the crime statistics? Some of them I was just reading. I'm going to gather them together. But this is from a black guy. He said 95% of the people that get murdered in the inner cities are blacks and Hispanics. And he says 95% of the people that do the murdering are blacks and Hispanics. They kill their own people. Your threat is not from the white man. Even how many white people actually really go out hunting after blacks? If you turn on the news any day, and any local thing, you're going to have black-on-white crime. Innumerable blacks mugging whites, raping whites. Maybe not for race. Maybe just because they're easy targets. But nevertheless, if the blacks are going to act up every time a white does something to a black, then the white people have a better case than you do. The white people should be perpetually out on those streets protesting for every black-on-white crime. And there's multitudes of them. And a lot of them are definitely racially motivated. And I talk about you people like Jesse Jackson, that bastard, filthy, radical, criminal bastard. Al Sharpton and all guys like him. He says, I don't go out and mug people. But you condone it. You support it. You defend it. You incite them. You get them going, and you give them justification for what they do. You're worse than them. You're worse than them, you filthy bastard. If this was a country that had some goodwill, even on the moral law, this bastard will be put in jail and never allowed it again. If he didn't amend his way, you'd kill him in public. He's a troublemaker. He's a troublemaker. He supports gangsters and he supports criminals. And he gives them a justification to go out and fight against innocent white people. And my point is this, even if you had a white racist guy did something against a black kid, does that give the blacks the right to go out and start protesting all these cities and harassing all the whites? Can't you see what you're doing when you do stuff like that? You're inciting the righteous vengeance of white people against you. And they're going to wipe you out righteously if you keep doing this. I'm trying to prevent, this is going to happen anyway, because it's God's will. But I'm trying to warn some of the good blacks, and even some of the evil blacks, to stop following these hypocrites. Anytime something happens to a black, they're always turning them into a victim. All right? Well, I'm telling you what happened. I lived with these people. I had black friends. When I went back to St. Benedict's Prep after that scuffle, I said, these black savages, you know, and I was real angry at them. And then my black friend said, yeah, I know, they're really bad when they get like that. He was a black friend. I had black friends in there that were not like, they're not all like that. And I'll tell you more stories about that to give you an idea on how it happens, and we'll get back to St. Benedict's Prep. But when I was working as an optician with an apprentice optician with Dr. Sternberg, the Jew, he had his place in the West Ward of Newark, what they call it, the Wild West. That's how evil it was and how criminal it was. And it was all black welfare, horribly criminal neighborhood. And this guy, Dr. Sternberg, had his shop there. And we had one guy come in here to fix his door. He was doing some work on his door. A white guy came in with his a worker with his tools. And I'm working in the back. And he comes in to go to the bathroom. And I says, did you leave your tools out front? And he says, yeah, I'm just going to the bathroom. Don't do it. They're going to steal your tools. Go back out and get your tools. But by the time he went back out into the front, they stole his tools. They were gone. They robbed his tools. And I said, these black savages, this is what they do. Now, this friend of mine that was working with me comes back and he says, Richard, it's a black lady and she hears you. And she goes, that's right, I hear him. He's right. They are savages, she said. I have to have my own nephews come out and escort me to the store when I go shopping because their own black people mug me. My own black people rob from me. I'm afraid of my own black people. I have to hide in my she was in one of those big project apartments, and she used to have her nephews come over to escort her so she can go shopping because the black people prey on their own people. They're so savage on their elevators in there. They would pee on the elevators. They would crap on the elevators. They would throw it on the walls. You tell me, this is normal? There's an excuse for this? This is natural law kind of stuff. This is an abomination in any society. And that you're making an excuse for these people? So this is what you're seeing here. When these blacks came in and all hell broke loose, St. Benedict's had a tremendous split, rightly so. The priests, they're all heretics. I'm not making excuses for the Benedictines on the right and on the left. They're not real Benedictines anyway. They were all heretics, even the righties who went to Del Barton. That was where St. Benedict's other school was, up in Del Barton, where the Richards kids went, you know, in a nicer neighborhood. So these older priests, or not even older, had nothing to do with age. It was a split upon lefties and righties. And you had your social worker, lefty, priest that, oh, the poor blacks, the poor victims. What poor black? What poor victim? If I robbed a car, I'm going to jail. If I do what they did, I'm in trouble. Why can they do it and get away with it? This is not right. You talk about injustice, that's gross injustice. And people see who lived through it. Except for the white people who live in the suburbs and cushy little places, and they watch their news reports and believe what they're told. And they deserve to get it. And there's a direct conspiracy with the Jews and the Freemasons to stir up this racial violence so they can wipe out the black race and have an excuse for it. The blacks don't even know they're being used by the very press they think is supporting them. Yeah. And the radical religious leaders like Martin Luther King, he's another one, who filled these black people with delusions of how great they are and turning them into victims. So what happened was they finally closed down St. Benedict's Prep because it was so bad. I mean, you never seen anything like it. I mean, I see him come out, punch one black kid, he comes out, he punches the teacher, and then a whole riot broke out. It was just, the whole riot broke out. I mean, you're not going to do this. Punch a teacher in the face, punch a priest in the face. It's unheard of. black kids did it, and they got away with it. And this one old priest, he came in with a couple of us white kids that were there, and he brought us some ice cream, you know, once in a while. And they don't ever do stuff like that, but he's being real nice to us, but I said, what's he being so nice to? He was trying to tell us, well, the school's going to close, and the reasons you're telling you are not the real reasons, but we can't really tell you why it is or something. But the reason that they said they closed the school down was because they didn't have enough money to keep it running. And the guys that were at the meeting says they were offered blank checks to keep the school running. They had plenty of money. It was the racial thing.
Yeah.
It was a really big situation. And the priests that were on the right of the issue said, we're not going to continue to do this. We never allow this in any educational system, and we will not do it. So they went to Del Barton. The other liberal lefty priests stayed in, and monks, whatever, stayed in Newark. And now they have their liberal lefty down till today school, where they got mostly non-Catholics in there. And they pray together. They even had Buddhists coming over there and pray with these so-called, they're not real monks. They're monks, but not even real monks. Benedictus. They prayed together at St. Benedict's. The Buddhists. They prayed together. So all these sins against the faith that are being committed, right? And now he's doing all these social works, and he thinks he's doing really good. He prays with them and all that. He doesn't care one bit about the salvation of mortal souls, and he's never really calling a crime for what it is, and he's never really calling out the evil what it is. You never punish good people and coddle the criminal. Our Lord said in Proverbs 17:15, he that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, both are abominable before the Lord. That's what these people were doing, these lefties. You never make an excuse for evil. That's why I'm giving a sermon. These evil people are extremely immoral and extremely bad. Now, you had another good black guy. I call good again. You know what I mean. As I said in the beginning, I don't mean he's going to be saved or anything, but he's better than these other blacks. His name was Joe Clark, and he was in Patterson High School. And blacks were bringing in their guns and their knives and their drugs and their alcohol. And the good blacks were afraid to go to school. And there's all kinds of horrible trouble. He got in there and turned that school around overnight. He went in with a bullhorn and a bat. And he was forceful. I followed that thing. I was in Newark when it was happening. And he turned the whole school around. He locked the doors and didn't let anybody come in during the day. But they finally got to him. And they finally got him to the back. Well, he got a lot of pressure on him. But he turned the whole school around. It was a safe place. Kids were safe to go there. But all the kids he kicked out, their parents got angry. You're prejudiced against my son. You kicked my son out. And they all, because they were mostly more evil than they were good, they rose up a big persecution against this guy, Joe Clark, and they got rid of him. And he lost. Because this country coddles criminals.
I had to take a chance. Do I let thugs and hoodlums come in here and create havoc in my school, raping and pillaging, selling drugs, shooting? Or do I chain the damn doors and take a chance? I chained the doors and defied the Board of Education and assailed the Board of Education for not having doors, magnetic doors, that could preclude the situation from occurring. You should be able to have some control over members of the family inside the school. The main thing, of course, is to keep the thugs and the hooligans from entering the building and causing havoc.
One of the reasons that many politicians hesitate to take on your friend, the school superintendent, and the school board is because immediately they're attacked for being racist. Do you think that there's something to that?
That has about as much meaning as mammary glands attached to the buttocks of a male bovine. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I'm sick and tired of these little mutants going around assailing everybody as a racist when most of the time it's not true.
So what is
their
attitude?
Their ineptitude, their academic and managerial inferiority. The fact is that we have black mayors, black superintendents, black fire chiefs, black police chiefs, and the damn cities are worse now than they ever were. I guess in essence what I'm saying is that we must begin to stop coddling hooligans and criminals and begin to have some type of accountability in our society. I've established my own management consortium that will be responsible for trying to help bring about rejuvenation in the decadent inner city environment. I don't know that you empower people necessarily politically anymore. I happen to be a Republican, and this is a county where it's 10-1 Democratic, so I am very distraught
over the proliferation of violence, specifically in the inner city. And I think that by and large, unless we quickly address this issue, our cities and, alas, our nation is going to be precariously perched. I think that what is happening, and I'm saddened by it, is that we are being duped by a bunch of fast-talking turkeys, whether they be political pimps or civil rights hustlers. I call them the misleaders of our society, who in actuality are not concerned about the rejuvenation of the decadence, but they're concerned about their own self-aggrandizement, and that must stop. And there's no question but that there is an inordinate amount of black-on-black crime. I was just looking at some statistics. 12 to 15,000 blacks kill themselves each and every year, and until recently, there was no hue and cry over this debacle. Let's talk about the message that is being given to black youth. You are a victim. And as a result of being victimized, you can't overcome the obstacles that you confront. And I want to say this, especially to those who pretend to be the civil rights leaders. They're giving that message to young blacks that you are victimized and you can't overcome the obstacles. But what are they telling their children? They're telling their children, this is America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and with pertinacity and determination, you can overcome the obstacles.
The problem,
that's not the message that the young people today are getting.
The only problem I have with when you say that is that you say civil rights leaders. I mean, who are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about, I won't pull any punches. I have to say that Jesse Jackson is the most formidable. I think that he is, for self-aggrandizing reasons, intimidating white people and exploiting black people. And the ultimate thing is not being achieved, which is economical empowerment for black people. And I think that black people throughout this nation, from what I can ascertain, have become cognizant of this. And there is nothing wrong in identifying those individuals who are exploiting others for their own self-aggrandizement.
Hey, here's another, talking about Paterson, New Jersey, another example I had of when I was working in Paterson, New Jersey, at Gold Vision Center for a Jewish doctor, Dr. Alan Cooper. And he was an optometrist. And I'm over there, it was in the worst areas of Paterson, New Jersey. And I was right where I had the window was right there, and I'm looking every day. I see all these young black guys in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 20s, and in their 30s, hanging out on the street corner, collecting welfare, not working, selling drugs, doing drugs, and robbing from the very customers that were coming into our stores to bring some business into the community. You want to talk about a giant loss. Not only are you paying for these guys, these lazy bastards, because they don't want to work, they're also generating a horrible, sinful situation with their crimes they're committing. And so we have people coming in to pick up their contact lenses and their glasses, and they get mugged by them. And they say, I can't pay. He just took my wallet. He just stole my pocketbook. And what happens with that, too, is that people don't even want to come into your store anymore. I was in the back one day. They're so good at stealing that, you know, and I had my wallet left out there, and there was a back door where all these black kids were going. They were all criminals. I knew it. Druggies. I knew who they were. I see them every day. And I left my wallet out on the table. And then I came back, and it was gone. And I knew they came in through that back door to take it. And I know who did it, but I couldn't really pin it on them, you know. So I remember once when I'm walking down the sidewalk and to buy some soda or something, and I seen him. He was coming right at me. I questioned him, too. I went up to his face. I said, you stole my wallet, didn't you? He goes, oh, I just threw your wallet. You stole it. I know it's you because you're the only one going in there. I says, I catch you steal that wallet. I'm going to break your ass. And then, oh, I didn't steal your wallet. So the next day I'm walking down the street, and he's looking at me, you know, and I'm walking straight. And I gave him a little shoulder, you know. And oh, excuse me. Sorry. I didn't mean that. He was a real dirtbag. He was a criminal. All right? He's a black radical. All right? I looked at them all day. The blacks that would come in there, they were so bad that if you didn't yell at them, they wouldn't listen. It was the weirdest situation. Everybody will tell you, you got to yell at them. Come over here. Sit down. You, here. Here, now, sit down and listen to me. And if you didn't do that, they would run roughshod in your place. They would completely annihilate them, picking things down, throwing things, screaming. I had black kids right there with their mother sitting there peeing around on the floor. I said, your kid's peeing on the floor. Take him to the bathroom. And so you're used to yelling at them because that's the only thing they listen to. And if you don't, they would roughshod over the place. Once I came out of the back, because it was all black customers mostly, I came out of the back once, and you, that's your first move. You go, all right, okay, give me your things, put it down. That's the way you talk, right? And you get used to it. So I came out and was like, okay, where's your prescription? Sit down over here. And I looked up, and it was white people. And they're not used to being, you don't need to talk to them like that because they behave. You know, and they looked, I was in shock. They were in shock. And I went, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else. I went, you know, I got in shock, you know. We had some good blacks coming in too. We did, but not many. We did. We had some good blacks coming in. It was a credit to them, you know. But my point is, this is what I'm living through. I see it. I'm not stupid. It's not you, racism. If I do it, I get in trouble. If you do it, you're a victim. And you can do it. You're allowed to get away with it. This is the country you live in the United States of America. Is a harlot. She supports criminals. I'm talking about black criminals today. I already spoke about white Anglo-Saxon Protestant criminals, Jewish criminals. They're just as bad. They're all bad. This whole country is a cesspool of iniquity. It supports criminals and it coddles criminals. Your lefty liberals are especially horrible with this. They let the criminals out of jail consistently, consistently, consistently. 20 times they rob a car and they're out of jail in a month. Out of jail, robbing a car again. How many times are you going to let a kid out of jail after he's robbing and he's showing himself to be obstinate in his criminal behavior? I feel sorry for the North cops that work there. I'm not making excuses for all, but I don't think a cop can even save a soul in that environment. It's so difficult. But if the North cops didn't give some of these black people a beating when they deserve it, they're not going to be punished by anybody. And first of all, if the North cops didn't give them the beating when they deserve it, they would beat the North cops and shoot them because they'd have no respect for them. And there was no justice coming from the legal system. There was none because the judges would let them back out on the streets again. What is a proper thing that you should do with a criminal when you catch him robbing like that? Stealing a car. First time you steal a car, you're going to jail for a year and I'm going to cut off two of your fingers. Non-essential fingers. I catch you a second time, the whole hand's coming off. You go to jail for 2 years. A third time, I kill you. I kill you. You're dead. You watch how quick robbery stops. It proves it in these Muslim countries where that's what they do when they punish these criminals. Why do you think somebody, you read it on the internet, one guy was saying, you complain about China? I've been over to China. You can walk the streets at night. You're safe as anything. I can't walk the streets in L.A. without getting mugged. So who's right and who's wrong? The United States is supposed to be a shining beacon of freedom. Freedom to sin. Freedom from evildoers. Freedom to oppress one another. Freedom to truly hate one another. And then these blacks yelling about hate crimes. They hate themselves even. They hate people. They hate law and order. I lived through these things. I've seen these people. You're not going to pull the wool over my eyes. And I've seen a lot of good black people, the better black people, who don't like this. They're oppressed by their own people. If the blacks want to come out and they want to protest anything, it's about the very black hoodlums that are living in their own neighborhoods. Look at the rap music that they got that's allowed on TV. It's explicit violence and filth. And a lot of these stupid white people are picking up their habits and following the lowest common denominator. When you let people start doing that and you don't stop them, it becomes like an infectious disease. They start putting tattoos all over the body like that freak. What was his name? And basketball player?
Dennis Rodman,
that freak, that trans-dressing, cross-dressing freak. Everybody starts doing it. You start doing rap, all the white people are doing rap. Even when you see Chinese people doing rap, and you got a problem. And they're infecting people. It's the plot of the devil to subvert people. Brother Rick was just telling me the other day that there was a situation where there was a riot in this one area. What was it? What was it? With the Koreans.
Yeah, the Rodney King.
Yeah, the Rodney King thing, which was all about, and they were rioting, and the Koreans were up on their, defending their own neighborhoods with guns and, what was it, they had rifles and guns, AK-47s, and the blacks wouldn't go near their neighborhood. But they were burning up everything else. That's why they didn't go into the North Ward.
This is the first incident at Florence and Normandy, right about 4 o'clock this afternoon. This started out as a report of two men breaking out windows and passing cars. This gentleman and his sister were in a car at the corner of Florence and Normandy when they were attacked, they say.
Gates says the looting and violence were widespread. Drivers were dragged from their cars and beaten near the intersection of Florence and Normandy. At one point, two cars collided trying to race through that intersection. Gates says his officers were simply too sensitive and should have been tougher, especially at the scene where trucker Reginald Denny was attacked.
And we regret the fact that we did not go in and do what we should have done, and that is rescue Mr. Denny.
The man's name is Reginald Denny, a 36-year-old truck driver and a father. He is alive, but badly hurt.
It's a very, very ugly situation here.
Oh, look at that. Terrible. And there's no police presence down here. They will not enter the area. This is attempted murder. They're picking his pockets now. Okay, I think we just took a round. Do you see that? He's reaching up for help, and somebody kicked him in the head.
The truck driver that we saw in those horrifying pictures, Reginald Denny, is in critical condition after brain surgery.
This is the intersection where it began, and it began with throwing things at cars that drove by, and then it sort of seemed to spread from there. Within an hour, there were fires, and it's just gotten worse as the evening went on.
This place is getting totally insane down here. It really is.
Look at the people standing on the sidewalk there. It's just amazing. All the windows broken out of his car. He's pulled out.
Now, and then they get into a fight with the other guys. We don't know who's on which side here, but the poor guy is conscious.
Another driver who was dragged out of his truck and beaten by the street thugs was less fortunate. He has died.
See a mob of people running into that store. Are they looting? This is looting. This is not shopping.
It's not right! It's not right what y'all doing!
And a man who had overcome all the afflictions of a blighted inner city, who had built a store that was the work of his life, saw it all come down and asked why.
You man, the white man, why destroy my business? Why destroy my store?
Now, there is absolute confirmation of unmistakably looting.
Now, I can't tell what store that was. It appeared to be a Ralph's market earlier.
So help me God, I never seen parents teaching children to steal. If I'd done that, my mom would beat the stuffings out of me if she had called me stealing. But these parents teaching their kids to steal, I can't understand it. Did they ever take their kids to church? Do they ever teach them to believe in Jesus? I don't believe this stuff. I just can't.
This is, you wonder what's going on inside these stores? Well, we took some shots here. Look at this. You know, it's party time. These people are smiling, as you heard. They don't care. They know it's illegal. They don't care. But I'll tell you what happened moments later. The Korean merchants and store owners who own that shopping complex, they were talking to me for a moment. They said they were fed up. They walked away. Next thing I knew, they walked out of their stores. Three of them were holding guns, and they just started firing at everybody and anybody. Apparently a car full of some young black kids pulled up on the other side, and they started shooting back. You're going to start to see what they noticed what was going on. They started shooting back, and we were right in the middle of it. It all happened so quickly. To tell you the truth, I thought they were blanks at first. I couldn't believe that these guys had actually pulled out loaded guns, but they were. There were bullets flying all over. And here you can see, this is where they see the cars pull up and they start to shoot back.
There are more than a dozen men out here armed with guns. They tell me they are security people, security forces for the Korean-owned businessmen here. About 60 men operate out of here. It's a swap meet. They sell some electronics. They sell some clothing. And I'm also told that this is their only means of protection. This is what they feel they have to do.
They win. Their team wins a championship. They go out and they riot. I'm so happy, let me go out and burn a car and start breaking windows. And white people have gotten infected, but I'm not making excuses for white people. I'll do a whole other sermon on white trash, too, and white trash is even worse than black trash. It is. I know white trash. I've seen it. I spoke enough about the Jews, and I'm a Jew. So I just say this again. This is not about racism. I'm talking about you black people. You're the evil black people that are racist. Jesse Jackson is a racist. Al Sharpton is a filthy racist. I beat that bastard silly. If I had this country, he's dead. Dead. I'll give him a month to repent. He dies as an example to everybody else. I'll take your leaders that are inciting you black people into more evil doing by giving you excuses when you sin, coddling you, and letting young black kids grow up into that. There's a few blacks, even like Bill Cosby and some other blacks, that tried to understood this, and they tried to say if we allow, even Geraldo Rivera came out and talked about something about the Hispanics and blacks dressing like gangsters. He says even if you're not a gangster and you dress like one, you're a gangster wannabe. And what do you think people do when they look at you? They understand that you do commit these crimes and you're putting yourself in that same category. And if you start punishing people properly, like I told you about stealing, and they know this is going to happen, You're going to watch stealing stop right away. And these young black kids are not going to grow up, or Hispanic kids are not going to grow up into a life of crime like that. And when you people are a little bit more moral and not as immoral, it's easier to convert them into the true Catholic Church. It becomes very difficult to convert people that are steeped in obstinate sins of immorality. And you're giving these black people an excuse to go and run wild. Even if you do have some white racists, sure. But where are they? Are they out there right now actually running around hunting black people? Now, it may happen, but I don't see it. If anything should really happen right now, if you blacks keep protesting and you keep harassing innocent white people, or when I say innocent, I mean they are not guilty of these types of crimes you're committing them of, you're going to rile them up and turn them against you. And you deserve to get killed. You deserve to get pilloried. Because you're disturbing public justice. You have the feminists do it with their NOW movement. All the lefties are great at this kind of stuff. They're filthy pigs, and all the people on the right sit back and they're letting this stuff happen. But it's just going to be an explosion. There is going to be a civil war. And I'm calling the people of goodwill out there to listen to my sermon. You better come into the true Catholic Church before it's too late. And if you come in right now, you're going to have the Catholic God helping you when this moment comes. Mostly important to save your soul is what I always say it for. But even if you yearn for justice, is what I'm trying to get to. If you yearn for true peace and true justice, true law and true order, you got to come into the true Catholic Church. God's allowing this to happen to the righties too because they're faithless too. They have their own sins on the right. Capitalism, materialism, greed, and their own heaps of sins against the faith. So God's letting evildoers punish evildoers. Wait, what else do we have in here? I'm going to give you some more examples that I got in here. You talk about the Rodney King case, and we'll go on to that in 1 second right now. What was this guy Rodney King doing? He was running from police officers in a car at high speed of rate. Do you know that a car going that fast is no different than if you shot a bullet in a crowd of people on purpose? If his car hit anybody, he would have killed them. He was endangering everybody's life that he passed. So when those cops caught him, he got a righteous beating, a good beating. They didn't kill him, but he deserved a beating. Our Lord says in the scriptures, if you have a rowdy slave, beat his sides till he bleeds. If your kid's bad, beat him with a rod. How much a radical criminal that was doing what he did. He's been arrested now how many times even after that? He's a stinking criminal. And what happens? They all got up and supported him. So that means Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton were right along in that car with him, running from the cops at a high speed and threatening innocent people. Black, white, Chinese, it doesn't matter who in those other cars, they could have got killed by that Rodney King bastard. He deserved a good beating. And I went out many times with some of my police friends in Newark, New Jersey, and saw what they did to these blacks who deserved it. They would give them beatings when they deserved it. I'll tell you the truth, too. If they didn't deserve it, they obeyed the cop, they never beat them. And the reason they had to do it was because you could not keep them in line, because they didn't fear the judicial system. They didn't. And the cops knew it. They said, see, Rich, that kid over there? I arrested him 10 times for robbing cars. And you know what cops would even do? They would get so tired of it, they wouldn't even arrest him because you got to fill out all the paperwork and you know he's going to be walking out of the prison. And so what they do, they would beat these blacks that were obstinate, that were resisting arrest, that were lying to the cops, that were giving them a hard time. And they did it also to put the blacks in fear of them, because if you didn't do that and they didn't fear you, they would kill you, or they would harm you, or they would wound you. I won't get into all the details of what I saw there, but I would tell you, I know one thing for sure. That I'm not making an excuse for all cops neither. I don't think cops can save your souls neither, because there's a lot of other crimes that go on in the cops. I'll talk about them later on. But we are still supposed to respect cops, even if they're not the best cops in the world. God put them here to have some semblance of law and order. But what was happening in the North Ward, getting back to the riots even, what happened was when they were rioting so bad in the black neighborhoods even, and we had a black mayor at that time, I think his name was Kenneth Gibson, or it might have been, there's another guy who came afterwards, it was Shark James, but when the blacks or even the Hispanics would act up really bad, they could not call the cops in to settle it, because then they would say the cops are being prejudiced against us, and they would file claims against the cops. So he'd call some of the Italian guys in, the mafia guys, the Italian guys in, vigilantes, and say, take care of it privately for us. And then it would end. And they would go down there, they'd either beat him with bats, or they would kill him and dump a few bodies in the park, and it would end. Because if the cops did it, they would get, so they had to resort to this vigilante system to get them to stop. But if they ever walked in our neighborhood, they were dead. And thank God for that. That's what they would have pillaged our whole neighborhood and built our house, burnt our homes. It's a matter of self-defense. This is still, my point is, I'm going to do a thing on this Trayvon Martin thing. I don't want to talk about it now because this is such a gross injustice that they're doing against this guy Zimmerman. The black criminals and radicals and racists are at it again with this criminal little kid, this punk kid, this punk, rowdy, evil black kid that they're putting up on a pedestal. And they're pillorying an innocent guy. I'll talk about that next week. But can't you see what's happening? You think these blacks are pacified. The rebellion has only been simmering underneath the surface and simmering, that simmers nevertheless. They're just waiting for the right moment when they can come out and break out and go to war. Like these Black Panthers shooting up their lips saying, we're waiting for this day. Well, you're going to get the day you're waiting for. God's going to allow the Antichrist and the Jews and the Freemasons to wipe your asses off the face of the earth. You know what? I'm warning you too, but I'm still going to celebrate when that happens, even though an evildoer is going to be killing you. I'm going to dance on the ropes. Because I've had it up to here with you black radicals, racists, and criminals. And not just me. Anybody who lives in an inner city knows it. Turn on your news and look who's committing the crimes. So shouldn't us all white people go out and start marching in all the black neighborhoods? Let's go down to all the black neighborhoods and get like a million white people with, and go down and start and do like they say. Oh, nonviolent, but block up their streets. Scream at them, yell at them, 24 hours a day, and think you're not going to incite some type of a thing. We would have had a right to do it if anybody would be us. But that would even be wrong, because you could probably oppress some innocent black people that aren't guilty of that. They're calling it down upon their own head, and I'm warning them that they're being set up for the kill, and they deserve it. But I grew up with these kids. I know what they're like. I know what they're about. And even the better black people do not like them. They're oppressed by their own people. And they always find themselves lining up on the left. The Democrat Party, the lefties, the liberals, the radicals. They always line up on it. And if a black guy ever becomes a Republican, it goes to the right side a little bit, and he criticizes his own black people, they call him an Uncle Tom. What do you mean? He's living by some of the natural law upon his heart? He's more moral? So he's evil? He's an Uncle Tom because he likes law, a semblance of law and order? That's evil? Attila the Hun would put up with this. He'd have their heads. Attila the Hun would have their heads. He won't put up with this in his own society of people. Raping, stealing, pillaging, drug addiction, alcoholism, defecating on elevators, peeing in hallways. I mean, that's monsters. That's savagery. That's squalor. You don't make an excuse for that. And now you got these blacks, they rise them up a little bit and they're arrogant. They think that the world owes them something. The world don't owe you anything. But this was a little, let me see if we've got anything else to talk on this topic, and it's a lineup for what I'm going to do on this other case of Trayvon Martin when I was telling you about this gangster kid. What was the other thing? When I was going to St. Lucie's Church in North New Jersey, they would still have processions, Italian church, once a year, or more, St. Gerard procession, whatever. And when they had the big projects, they said it was so bad with the blacks there that they would throw dirty diapers out the window at the statue of our Blessed Mother and at the processors, dirty diapers out at them. Now, I told these Italian people that God allowed this to happen to the Italians and all these so-called, because they were no good neither. I'm not going to, because God was allowing the savages, he really let devils from hell come in and persecute them because they themselves didn't have the faith. But it doesn't make any excuse for this behavior of the black people, what they've done, these evil black people. But here's a society that coddles these, I think it was Steve Pierce, one of our Republican representatives from around here, made a statement, which is true. He says, first of all, if they're going to get food stamps, I want them to have a drug test to make sure they're not drug addicts. And I want anybody who's going to be on welfare, if he's of working age, 20 in his 30s, I want him to work if he's going to get money. I want him to do something. I want him to go out and pick apples. You can't even get immigrant people out here to work on farms anymore. They got to get illegal immigrants from Mexico to pick apples and to pick cotton. I know it. He said it. He says, we can't get any of these kids. It's not just a black thing now. This is even white kids. It's everybody. The United States has a whole culture of what we call them aristocrats. They don't want to do any hard work. They don't want to go out there. They want the white-collar jobs, sit back in the cozy jobs and make their money. They can't get anybody to even work out here. But my point is, you're going to put these kids on welfare. I've seen these kids sitting out all day collecting their welfare and doing their drugs and getting drunk and robbing people. I said, these bastards should have been forced to work on a work party. You don't give people money like that or behaving like that. You go out and you put them to work. But this is the kind. This sermon too is appealing to people who have some sense of justice and can see what's going on here. That's why even Putin says you better put. You're pointing your finger at all of us in China. You can walk the streets at any time in China. You won't put up with that. nor will these zealous Mazel groups. And it looks bad for, this country goes by a Christian name, but we know it's not, it's Protestant. And even the Catholics aren't really Catholic. You look, Rome even has crime in it now. But all this rampant coddling of criminals is because of the Romans' one curse, because you rejected the faith, and now God has delivered the whole world into the hands of criminals. And it's a world that coddles and favors criminals. They let them out of jail. I wrote that bastard Mario Cuomo, that lefty, filthy, stinking, heretic, rat, immoral bastard. He let one guy out of jail. I forget the thing. It was a big deal. Everybody may know it. And then I think he went up, and after that, one guy came out and mugged his mother really bad. Busted his mother up, and he found out he was like a repeat criminal, that they let him back out of jail again. And Cuomo was big on that, letting these criminals out of jail. Just recently in Albuquerque, we had an Hispanic guy that got caught robbing four times or something, like breaking into homes. And this recent time that they caught him, the judge let him go, didn't even put him in jail, and then he went right out and robbed again. He went into a home in Albuquerque, and another Hispanic guy who lived in the house heard him coming in. He was walking up the stairs, and he shot him. He didn't die, though. On the 9-1, he heard, oh, and he was crying. And all. He survived, but the guy was legitimate in doing it. They didn't bring the whole thing was, how did this guy get out? How come he didn't go to jail? How come he didn't go to jail? And he went right out and robbed again. You know why? Because the politicians are criminals. The Jews are criminals. The apostate Jews are your biggest gangsters. When they rob big. They don't just hit you over the head for $10. They rob millions of dollars. And so do the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and the Freemasons. I'm not making excuses for them neither. But this is to put the black people on guard, that you better wise up before it's too late. First of all, you better come into the true Catholic Church to have a hope to save your soul. None of your Baptist ministers or whatever religion you call yourself, Christian religion, is not a true Christian religion. That's why you can't control yourselves. They're lying to you. Your religion is a religion of emotions and passions. It's got nothing to do with the true religion of God, the true Catholic Church. That's where your hope is. That's where you have to come in. You've got these bum priests, like at St. Benedict's, these lefties making excuses for them. That St. Benedict's prep, it makes me so righteously angry what happened there. And I'll save another sermon to tell you what happened to these gangsters, even as Father Edwin Leahy and Abbot Melvin Valvano. See my video against St. Benedict's Preparatory School. So anyway, getting back to the main topic, we pray, all of us here, for the conversion of all the black people, especially the black people who may be the ones that are on the right, that are seeing some of this, and even for you real evil, dirty, criminal black people, wake up, wise up, stop with your criminal behavior, and stop making excuses for yourself. And the worst evildoers, even the religious leader, your religious leaders and your political leaders like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, wise up before it's too late. And those guys are the ones that have to get the brunt of the blame because they're giving justification to these hoodlums and these gangsters and these criminals and these racists and these radicals. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.